It's time for Rebel Extra. This is your team, Las Vegas, and we want to hear from you. Call us at 364-1100. That's 364-1100. Now, live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Bernie Fratto and John Von Tobel.
Well, the UNLV Rebels headed home tonight after two road games in which they lost by a total of 5 points. Facing a team they beat at the Pit 3 weeks ago that limped into town down two starters. Could the Rebels take advantage? Well, the narrative's been established. UNLV needs consistency, offensive efficiency, and a commitment to defense through better communication and awareness. But enough platitudes. What the Rebels really needed tonight was an alpha dog, someone to step up and put the team on his back, injecting energy and fire, and they got it. An old friend, Tyrell Green, decided he would answer the challenge, and he played his best game in over a month, chipping in 25 points and 8 rebounds, bringing some good energy as well. But in the end, it wasn't enough as the Rebels fall to New Mexico 80-77, splitting the season series. And in the meantime, UNLV falls to 10-13 overall, 3-7 in conference play, and don't look now, but our beloved UNLV Runner Rebels are all alone in last place. Welcome back to another edition of Rebel Extra, the post-game show devoted to you, the fans and supporters of UNLV Runner Rebel Basketball. Rebel Extra is brought to you by our proud sponsors, Angel Park Legacy in Durango Hills, OB Sports' most complete golf course experiences in Las Vegas, Diamondback Land Surveying, from brick walls to the Taj Mahal. Diamondback Land Surveying are your land surveying experts. 8-Ball Bail Bonds. If you had more fun at the game than the law allows, call 8-Ball Bail Bonds to get you out of jail. And Pizza My Dear with a smoke and lunch deal. A 12-inch pizza for only $5 with two locations to serve you. Go to pizzamydear.com. We come to you after every game this season, folks, and we want to hear from you. 364-1100. Give us a call. Be part of the action. Don't be bashful. Pick up your phone. Punch out the digits. Drop some knowledge on a grateful nation. Let us know what you think. Or you can text your thoughts at 69187. Please preface your text with ESPN. Before I go any further, let me introduce my broadcast team to my left, turning all the dials, keeping us glued together. It's Matt Neidl, Bobby Machado. Also, he'll be taking all of your calls at 364-1100. To my right, I'm joined by the gentleman. You hear him every day on Cofield & Company. That would be John Von Tobel, JVT. John, a lot to get to tonight. You know, we heard that the team had some good practices this week. There was good energy, a sense of understanding that they let a couple get away on the road. They were eager for redemption. Could they sweep the New Mexico Lobos coming into town down two starters? Well, almost.
Yeah, it kind of sucks, right? I mean, yeah, now it's 3 straight losses, combined 8 points. You know, so they're right there in each one of these matchups, mm-hmm. and yet they can't really pull them out. And, you know, I don't know if you should be, as a fan of this team, should you be disappointed because you're right there with the final possession almost every single time, especially these last 3 games? Or do you look at these 3 games and go, well, he being Marvin Menzies, he's behind the 8-ball, team's maybe not as talented, this is the best we can get. It's kind of up and down, but at the end of the day, I think it's a little disappointing when you're right there, and especially, as you mentioned, down two guys, two key guys for New Mexico, and you can't really pull it out.
Well, I think it is disappointing. I'll fall on that side because it did seem like this was a game for the taking, mm-hmm. and unfortunately still too many self-inflicted wounds, some dumb decisions, and inability to make certain plays at key times. It was a well-contested game. I mean, just out of the gate, the first 10 minutes, there were 4 ties and 7 lead changes. There were 13 lead changes over the course of the game. And there were some oddball numbers. The Rebels had 25 points off turnovers tonight. Mm-hmm. And you had, you know, Tyrell Green with a superb game. He had some good-looking shots. Rebels had a couple of really good-looking possessions early on in the game when they got the ball down low, and Tyrell Green kind of had that lefty jump hook, and they got the ball back later, and they hit Dembele on a dunk coming off a pick and roll. But again, it's a situation, John, where things look good, but they can never seem to sustain it.
Yeah, and especially down the stretch when there's a moment where Elijah Brown goes out of the game and New Mexico goes to about 2.5 minutes with no field goals, 3 turnovers. UNLV goes on a 7-0 run. They kind of take the lead, and it looks like they might actually be able to sustain it. And then here comes New Mexico. Something called Damian Jefferson starts making plays for him. Elijah Brown has that nutty 3 with about 40 seconds left. and it just kind of peters out, and they can't hold on.
Give it up to the youngster, the freshman, Damian Jefferson, a very athletic body, an athletic young man, 13 points, 9 rebounds, had the coast-to-coast layup early in the game, had a couple of clutch rebounds late, then he hits Obi Ejed on a cutter. He was all around the floor, played with great energy. You know what? Great players make big plays in big games. Give it up to Elijah Brown, steps up, 29 points tonight. Obi Ejed, the double-double, 15 and 11. And look, New Mexico, for the most part, frustrated and took away a lot of what UNLV wanted to do, particularly in the second half. UNLV really never got into much of an offensive flow, much of an offensive rhythm. Every now and then you'd get side-to-side passes. But once again, John, as I said, I know it's cliche. I know it's trite. This is a team that will live and die after three. The Rebels, 6 of 22 from three-point land tonight. Mm-hmm. Jalen Poizer continues to be a mystery. 1 of 4 field goals, got 4 fouls, only had 2 points. Pretty tough to have that happen when you don't get offensive production from the guy that still was technically heading into tonight's game, your leading scorer, 12 points a game.
Yeah, and it's also disappointing because I thought the front court didn't really have that great of a showing. I mean, besides Tyrell Green coming off of the bench,
right?
I mean, you have Shake Ndebele and Chris Jones, who Jones had some foul trouble early, and he didn't really get into a flow. But when you're missing two forwards like New Mexico was, you're expecting the front court for UNLV to get a lot of touches and take advantage.
Fair enough.
And neither of them really showed up tonight. And they needed both Jones and Ndebele.
364-1100. We want to hear from you, Las Vegas. This is your team. He's John Von Tobel. I'm Bernie Fratto. This is Rebel Extra. And we're going to kick off the show tonight with Jose. Jose, thanks for your patience and waiting online. Welcome to Rebel Extra.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to say two things to start off. I've been to a couple of Rebel games already this year, and this by far was the most exciting game that they played. But at the end, they lost the game. It's like it's the same thing over and over again. Osebu, for some reason, every time he gets the ball, he's so hesitant. He doesn't want to do anything with it. I don't know how many times he was wide open with the ball and wouldn't do anything. They're afraid to go inside. I mean, it's just it gets to the point where it looks like UNLV didn't get the memo, but Elijah Brown did because he went off on them. Two players are out for New Mexico, but yet you still cannot finish the game off strong. I mean, Marvin Menzies in his interview after the game just sounds completely lost. When you say we're going to keep rocking and rolling and this and that, that's not what fans want to hear. I want to hear what you are going to do to change this around. Obviously, we're not going to win a title this year. We know that. It's a rebuilding season. But show me something more. Every time that I go to these games and I see Marvin Menzies, he just looks lost on the court. Not only that, I don't feel that the players are playing for him. Sometimes some of the players come in and they just look like, oh, I don't want to do anything. I mean, Clyburn came in and he just hands on knees, walking around. Like, are you going to play or not? You know what I mean? Like, we need people that want to be here with this program. If you know what this program is about, then let's get the players that want to be here. I'm sick and tired of going to UNLV games and hearing people complain about the refs and this and that. No, this program needs to turn around ASAP. If it doesn't, I took my daughter to her first game tonight. She's never been to a live Rebel game. And for her to see them lose the way they did at the end, it's just like, come on, man. Let's get this together, man.
All right, Jose, stay on the line. I appreciate your passion. Obviously, you care, and we need fans who care. The game was tied 66-66 after Uche made a layup at 3:10. The Rebels never got the lead back again. They lost the game in the final 3 minutes. Where did they go wrong? Just focus on the final 3 minutes of the game, because as far as the program rebuilding, turning it around, that's in process. Rome wasn't built in a day, but just focus on the final 3 minutes. It sounds to me like essentially those 3 minutes tonight that wrapped it up for New Mexico are a microcosm for where this program has brought you so much frustration.
So here's the thing. First half, they played great. Defense, just like the coach said, I give them that. They were causing turnovers. You know what I mean? They weren't doing the turnovers. They didn't have them. But at the end of the game, for some reason, they just couldn't stick to a defensive game plan that was going to help them. You know what I mean? How many times didn't they leave a man wide open underneath the court for an easy dunk or an easy layup? I mean, that's just bad defensive play.
That's a fact. Thanks a lot, Jose. Covered a lot of ground. Appreciate your passion. Look, he's right about that. Too many times, John, especially in the second half, UNLV was asleep at the wheel on defense. They don't pressure the passers enough. The cutter has a free path to the basket because they're never bumped. Why? You lose track of players. Why? Those are questions that need to be asked.
Yeah, I mean, you already mentioned one of the key plays down the stretch, and it was actually exactly what you're talking about, a free run of the basket where a jet is just running to the hole, and Jefferson finds him with a really nice pass. He finishes, and, you know, New Mexico just continues on down the stretch, and they eventually pull away. And, you know, down – it's kind of tough because, you know, like we talked about, they were playing somewhat well, but then you find these last, like, 3 minutes – where all of a sudden Tyrell Green disappears and he's not scoring anymore. Jovan really can't hit a shot. And it's like, okay, here we go again. And defensively, you have these tiny breakdowns where you cannot have them and you give up games like this, like you did with San Jose State.
And watching the game tonight, John, did you feel Jovan regressed a little bit? Too many times were early in the shot clock. He would dribble around and fire up a long three. By the way, how about the final possession of the first half? 33 seconds to go. Mooring dribbled around near the top of the key for 33 seconds, then dribbled into traffic, threw a long cross-court pass to Tyrell Green, who did his best to rush a three at the buzzer. It looked like Dembele might have been fouled into the basket as time ran out. Menzies was upset about that. That's your last possession. Now, Javon Mooring is the same guy who played a whale of a game against Wyoming, off the screens, pick and rolls, finding the open man. He can play the position. Tonight, I thought he regressed. 8 of 20 from the floor, 3 of 11 from behind the arc. Too many times, those shots early in the clock when he was covered. And obviously, if you draw traffic, and Craig Neal likes to play the zone matchup, trap guys with the ball, he was going to emphasize Mooring because Mooring gets off a lot of shots. It happened. And all of a sudden, when you're drawing those teal jerseys tonight, which were giving me a headache to look at, by the way.
Kind of like them. They're all right.
I'm glad I was watching the game sober. Had I been inebriated, I might have gotten dizzy watching that game. Actually, I did get a little dizzy. If you've got defenders plastering you, which is really sort of a football term, somebody's going to be open.
Yeah.
And Javon Mooring is capable of finding those open players. He's capable of breaking you down off a dribble. But tonight, John, I thought he regressed, and I'm repeating myself nine times.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't know if regressed, but you saw a lot of what makes you pull your hair out with this guy. I mean, you mentioned 3 of 11 from 3, and a lot of them were just early jacks in the shot clock. And you think that, let's take, I don't know, in a three-score game, so it's 80-77 was the final, take 3 of those threes away, right, from Jovan, and actually finish out the possession. You don't know what happens in a close game like this. It could have been a different outcome. I'm completely with you. One of the first notes I wrote down was Jovan, early shots again. You can't do it, especially when, as a point guard, your job is to facilitate the offense. And we've seen with this team, when the offense is moving and the ball is moving, good things happen. You can't start playing the hero ball, and he did it early in the first half, and you saw a couple shots.
He did it in the first three minutes.
Mm-hmm.
The Rebels were trailing 3-2. Mooring comes down before they even get into their offense. He jacked up a really long three. It was such a long three that the ball caromed off the rim out to about 17 feet. I think Furstinger made the catch, passed it up to Elijah Brown. He took it in for a layup. That's how long that three was. The first 5 minutes of the game, UNLV was 3 of 10 from the floor and still led 10-7. They were 3 of 10 from the floor. New Mexico, 2 of 9. Very ugly game, but at no time were the Rebels in any kind of offensive flow. I think Jovan Mooring is capable of more than that. I think he's a pretty good player when he sticks to what Coach Menzies has referred to as the script for success. But too many times tonight, I think he veered off script. 364-1100, Rebels fall tonight, 80-77. We want to hear from you, Las Vegas. One of the things I like to hear, unless my eyes deceive me, with a one-possession game, with about 2.5 minutes to go, people were leaving the Thomas and Mack.
Yeah,
now, why is that?
Traffic?
Yeah.
When you got 5,000 people showing up,
you could have shot a cannon
up
through that place and not hurt anybody. I don't know what they're going to announce as the attendance, but
I got the email from Andy.
But that will necessarily indicate who came through the turnstiles.
Oh, no,
right?
Of course.
And
this will be announced, at least.
Right, and I'm not trying to throw cold water on this, but, you know, people can see for themselves that the arena is obviously not packed, although the crowds that have been there have been somewhat engaged.
What do you think they announced?
They announced 8,800, 9,000.
12.
Well, I'm not good at counting, apparently. I mean, I'm no high school dropout. I went the full 6 years. But all right, let's take a quick break. We come back. More of your calls, 364-1100. We'll get to some individual performances, and we're going to take a quick stroll around the Mountain West Conference as well. John, one of the things I wanted to ask you is just before tip-off, I think everybody became aware that Nevada, Reno, picked up their third loss in conference at Utah State by 17, believe it or not. And you have to wonder if New Mexico saw that and said, hey, let's take advantage of this. Boise State's got three losses. New Mexico's got four losses. Nevada's now got three losses. Nevada doesn't get to play. New Mexico doesn't get to play Reno anymore. Reno beat them twice. They did beat them twice. Matter of fact, they're coming off a loss at Reno, double-digit loss the other night. Okay,
and then the dramatic
They're going to need help, but mathematically, this is a conference. I think I'm going to say 12-4, 11-5 probably wins it. Let's switch gears. Let's go back out to the phone line. Sean, I don't want to have to wait through a break. Welcome to Rebel Extra. What are your thoughts tonight?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a proud alumni, so I'm always going to support the program. However, go to most of the games when I can. Did not make it tonight, but I watched the game in full on TV. But I got to say, with this team, I love the hustle, tonight at least. I love the aggressiveness, the enthusiasm. I just want to say that, you know, I don't think it's a lack of talent. I think what I saw tonight that cost them the game, it's very teachable. It's teachable moments. It's, you know, shot selection, making the extra pass, that kind of stuff. And, you know, from my perspective, I don't care what age you are, that's very teachable. Whereas, you know, a talent standpoint, not so much.
Sean, let's call a timeout right here. 5:11 to go. You get to play coach. 5:11 to go in the game. Javon Mooring dribbles at the top of the key. He draws two defenders. Does this fall-away three-pointer. He tried the old what I call Chauncey Billups, really sort of perfected this, where he pump fakes, gets the defender in the air, jumps into the defender, tries to draw a foul from three-point land. It was not a good decision at all, especially when Zion Morgan was wide open 6 feet away at the elbow for a wide-open shot. You're the coach. What do you tell? There's your teachable moment. What do you tell Javon Mooring at that moment?
And see, it's tough because I was thinking about that too, and you make up a great point, you know, at a timeout or whatnot, you sit him down, kind of shake him up, but saying, hey, what's going on? And, you know, maybe even bench him for a minute or two, but, you know, I'm going to play devil's advocate. See, if you do that, him and I think it was either Green or Poyser, that the only two really doing anything out there.
Green.
So if you bench him, it's like, you know, you got your best player on the bench. So it's kind of like, you know, kind of tough situation either way, but you brought up a good point. So I'm not really sure in that situation.
I think Coach Menzies and his staff has done their best to engage in lots of teachable moments before, during, and after games, and especially during games. But I'm really not sure. Sean, you can have the final word before we move on.
Okay, thank you. I just want to say that, you know, I'm still going to support this team, and I think Vegas needs to do that. But I do think that, you know, it seems like with the majority of this core moving forward, you know, probably 80% of them are going to be back next year. They just got to build upon it. And this team, it'll happen, you know, just with everything. It takes time. But, you know, I'm liking what I see. I'm a little disappointed in the losses, but you know, it comes with the territory, but, you know, all we can ask for is for support. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm not being a homer here or whatnot, but, you know, just stick with them. And when the good times come, you know, it'll be even better. So thank you for taking my call.
All right. Thanks for checking in. John, do you remember that play I'm alluding to? What was just going through your mind without overthinking it? What was your knee-jerk reaction?
That was a very stupid play. You can't rely on that, and then just to jack it up the way he did, you don't even give yourself a chance. And as you mentioned, and as we've mentioned with Jovan before, there's other options within the play that you can make. You have, like you mentioned, an open Zion Morgan. You can make the extra pass and get the better opportunity. You can't just try and put up the three every single time.
Just before that, Uche had just dropped in a little floater. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of side-to-side ball movement. New Mexico goes the other way. They have one of their best positions. UNLV goes back into his zone. They pick apart the zone. Obia Jett gets down low for a dunk. New Mexico also gets the ball back off a steal. Elijah Brown cans a three, and the Lobos go up 64-62. You know what the score was when Jovan tried that goofy three and tried to draw the Chauncey Billups foul? It was 64-62
New
Mexico.
It was pretty late, yeah.
Yeah. So you're down. You're down, and every possession is critical those last 5 minutes. And I think you know, I know people are going to hear me and they're going to selectively listen. Okay, they'll select some certain people selectively listen and say, oh, why is this guy who's picking on Dwayne Morgan? Why is this guy picking on Javon Morgan? No, what I'm doing is specifically alluding to certain key junctures in the game when you've got a player that the Rebels have come to rely on, who I believe is capable of doing more, who's proven and won me over. I'm a fan. He is what he is, all right? He's not going to escape his nature. He's going to do things that cause you to scratch your head, and then he's going to make a big three or make a key play, and he makes his free throws, and he plays hard. I like him. I just think he's capable of doing better, and those little things, those little peccadilloes come back to bite the Rebels. This game really came down to, look, we buried the lead. We haven't even really talked about the fact there was no Tim Williams, no Dane Kuiper. These are two key cogs in New Mexico's offensive attack. They had to replace that production and replace those minutes. You do with a freshman, Damian Jefferson, who frankly stepped up. Elijah Brown, 29 points. You knew he would pick up the scoring bulk. Ovia Jett, same way. So the Rebels needed to get production out of Tyrell Green. They did. They needed to get production out of Javon Mooring, 23 points. Frankly speaking, they did. But that was somewhat undone by some odd possessions where some forced shots were launched. And by the way, Zion Morgan, I thought, played a solid game. 10 points. He only took, you know, he only took five shots.
Yeah.
He was 3 of 5 from the floor, 4 of 6 from the free throw line. That shows me he's making good decisions with the ball, and he's not forcing shots when they're not there.
Yeah, and to build on your point with Mooring is that he's capable of doing it. And to tie in Morgan, there was a great play on an inbounds with Ofebu, where Ofebu bounces in the corner to Jovan, and Jovan hits Morgan while he's cutting across the floor for an easy lay-in, right? And it's Jovan having the vision and being able to make a play as opposed to forcing up a bad shot. And it happens. And you get guys like Zion Morgan involved. And Zion Morgan, as you mentioned, had a good game, and when he was found, he actually made the most of all of his attempts. But it's just about finding what's best for the team if you're Jovan Mooring. And, you know, you mentioned the forwards out, Tim Williams and Kuiper. I mean, it goes back to my original point we were talking at the beginning of the show, which is the front court for UNLV really disappointed today. I mean, Christian Jones, when he was in,
picked up his fourth foul early in the second half.
Picked
that
up
hurt.
Early. And even when he was
he was ice cold.
Yeah, I mean, there were times where, and I've had this, we've talked about this before with him. It's like, you know, when you're posted up with the Jet, try to take him to the basket. You know, he's a lanky guy, but he doesn't have a lot of size. Jones physically can match up with him. I feel like you can at least try to take him to the basket and do something with him. But, you know, the front court, you didn't get a lot of production out of him, and that really is what screwed UNLV, I think, coming down the stretch, besides the fact, obviously, with Jovan Mooring's questionable decision, some of the turnovers, everything.
We are going to take a quick break right now. When we come back on the other side of the break, I want to emphasize the second half, particularly the first 7 minutes of the second half, where the tone for the remainder of the game was set. And some what I consider to be a very rocky start for UNLV for multiple reasons. He's John Von Tobel. I'm Bernie Fratto. Rebels fall tonight, 80-77, split the season series with New Mexico. Stick with us, folks. Don't go away. You are listening to Rebel Extra.
Text the show by sending ESPN to 69187 or give us a call at 364-1100. This is Rebel Extra.
Back on Rebel Extra, ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM. Bernie Fratto, John Von Tobel, and Bobby Machado producing. Give us a call, 364-1100, or you can text in your thoughts, 69187. Please preface your text with ESPN. UNLV falls to New Mexico, 80-77. Fall to 3-7 in conference, all alone, folks. Last place in the Mountain West Conference. Yep, read it and weep. Second half, John, tied 35-35 at the half. And I remember thinking to myself, the Rebels can win this game. Mm-hmm. Let's not have a rocky start to the second half. And they had a rocky start to the second half. Christian Jones picks up his fourth foul early. New Mexico gets the first 4 points. It started to get away. Tyrell Green hits a clutch three. The New Mexico gets into a 1-2-2 zone, and that seemed to give UNLV some problems. They could not really get into their offense. They were starting their offense higher in the key. Meanwhile, the Rebels started to go to a little bit of backcourt pressure to pressure New Mexico's young guards, but they could never really sustain it. But what started to happen were the proverbial lapses, concentration lapses. When the score was tied at 50, The Rebels had a very good defensive possession. It got down to 2 seconds, and one of the New Mexico players tried to feed someone down low, and it went off one of the UNLV players' legs. So all of a sudden, two seconds on the shot clock, right? And New Mexico's got to inbound the ball. They got 2 seconds. Well, guess what? They get it to Elijah Brown. Somebody loses sight of him, and he ends up getting fouled. You don't want to foul that guy, 82% free throw shooter. He goes to the line. He makes them both. A minute later, Jalen Poizer picks up his fourth foul, and here we go. So the first, you know, you're in a basketball aficionado, John. How important are the first 6-8 minutes of a second half?
Of course, they're extremely important, and that's where you make your adjustments. That's where you want to start out, and actually, especially in a tie game, you want to see if you can get some separation between you and the other team. And, you know, you mentioned the first 4 points, Jalen Harrison, of course, who else but Damian Jefferson involved again, you know. But I thought the second half, not as trying to think of what I want to put out here, because – in the second half,
no pace, no tempo, no rhythm. At one point, Coach Menzies was yelling at the team, play with pace, play with pace.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, because in the first half, the ball was moving a little bit. In the second half, you know, we saw a little bit more of the ISO plays, and Uche stepped up. He started out 0-for-5.
Yep.
Then he hit two consecutive shots, and you thought, okay, maybe they'll get back into this. But I thought Tyrell, for how awesome he was playing, as the second half wore on, he kind of fell off. And you were looking for some sort of offensive output from anybody, and it wasn't really coming for the Rebels.
No. In addition to the Rebels starting out the second half, making 2 of their first 10 shots, which is not good. Again, asleep at the wheel on defense, did a poor job of pressuring the passer. Too often the cutter had a free path to the basket, was never bumped, lost track of guys, allowed New Mexico players to get behind to the rim, and in the end, New Mexico made one or two more plays they needed to make. Let's go back out to the phone lines. We're joined by Ernie. Ernie, thanks for checking in tonight on Rebel Extra.
Bernie, this is Ernie. How you doing?
Good. You want to do Sesame Street after the show, or?
I got in kind of late, so you may have already talked about this. Troy Baxter, I noticed in the first half he was kind of pouting on the bench when he walked up to the huddle and timeouts and stuff.
Yes.
And then in the second half, he wasn't even on the bench.
Apparently he's hurt. Apparently
somebody
he's
behind
hurt.
Me. What's that?
I didn't mean to cut you off, Ernie, but the word we're getting is he has some sort of injury. That's what they're telling us.
Okay, yeah. He wasn't even out for the second half. All right. I appreciate it. Thank you, Bernie.
Is this all you had? Anything else, Ernie?
Well, that's it. I just wanted to talk about that.
What we're hearing in all seriousness is that he, what was it, John? Some sort of ankle or foot injury?
Or foot injury and a stomach bug was the other ailment that was listed.
What about transferring? Do you hear anything about that?
Nothing along those lines, of course. However, it's interesting that you mentioned that, Ernie. Troy Baxter is a 4-star kid out of Florida.
Right.
And on paper was probably considered to be one of the more marquee recruits, not getting the minutes. And I'm sure there's a reason for that. And I don't second-guess Coach Menzies on who he gives minutes to, for the simple reason he has proven that he will evaluate and reevaluate. You see that Jalen Poizer is no longer a starter. Zion Morgan is. Jovan Mooring is. Tyrell Green no longer is. So, and Chris Clyburn has never been able to crack the starting lineup. So I give Coach Menzies credit in that he's going to start the guys that he believes follow script for success.
Well, that makes sense, sure.
Troy Baxter.
And Chris Clyburn, by the way, you bring him up. He started out the season strong, and boy, he has really fallen off.
Yep. Struggling with his shot, only 15% from behind the arc. Right, appreciate your call tonight, Ernie.
You got it, Bernie. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, Clyburn's been somewhat of a disappointment, man. And, you know, especially after that first exhibition, I was with that. I don't know if people remember this name, but Taylor Byrne. We were kind of discussing this, and Clyburn looked like he had the potential to even be this team's leading scorer. And, you know, he had a couple games where he was the energy guy, pulling in rebounds and make shots here and there, and he's definitely fallen off, and they need him.
He looked tremendous against Dakota Wesleyan.
Yeah, of course.
He did, so there's that.
He did, yeah.
Let's go back out to the phone lines. We're joined by Ryan. Ryan, thanks for checking in tonight on Rebel Extra.
Yeah, thanks, Bernie. I just wanted to say I don't think this loss is actually
Are you kidding me with this?
Must have had a phone problem there. John, we were talking about Troy Baxter off air. I don't want to practice psychology without a license, but you're a perceptive guy, John. Is something going on with Troy Baxter? I don't want to cast aspersions. I don't want to gossip. I don't want to see something that's not there. But when you consider that really the Rebels struggle for long stretches to create offense, long stretches without scoring, defensive lapses, things of this nature, don't you wonder out loud, is Troy Baxter really hurt enough to not be able to play at all? Is there something there?
I don't know because I was thinking about this the other day, right? And I feel like the only reason we bring this up is because Troy Baxter is, as you mentioned, a four-star guy. And they kind of get this bad rap, like, oh, you know, he's a four-star guy, highly touted. He's not going to like the fact that he's getting some hard coaching. He's going to want to transfer, right? And at some point, I think it's kind of unfair to assume that he doesn't like it, you know, because at the end of the day, he is a basketball player, and he might enjoy this kind of coaching because it will eventually develop into a decent player. So right. I don't know if it's fair to speculate, and I think, like I said...
I apologize for bringing that up.
No, someone's going to take it in the wrong... I thought about it, too.
Even this caller did. Yeah. Someone's going to take it in the wrong context. It's just something we need to keep an eye on. Let's look at some quick numbers. The Rebels tonight... on the evening, shoot 39% from the floor, 27-69, only 6 of 22 from behind the arc. Very solid at the free throw line, 80%, 17 out of 21. They only turned the ball over 9 times. That's not bad. That's one of the things, John, they have improved on in conference. The Rebels were averaging 14 turnovers per game in not conference. They've got that down below 10. Out-rebounded tonight by New Mexico, 42-37. Give New Mexico credit. They shot the ball very well, 29-60, 48%. 7 of 15, 46% from behind the arc. New Mexico, very highly ranked, number one in the conference, tops near the top 30 or 40 in the country. 76% New Mexico is from the free throw line, 15 of 20 tonight, 75%. They did turn the ball over 16 times. The Rebels did turn those into 25 points off of turnovers. Another positive for the Rebels tonight, if we're looking for positives. But New Mexico, as I said earlier, did out-rebound the Rebels 42-37. Tough night. This is a game you feel like it could have been won. Coach Menzies, Chris Wynn texted in that in the press conference, post-game presser, Menzies talked about, at least we're getting into the final 2 minutes of games where we've got a chance to win, but this is getting old. You want to find ways to win. And in terms of the inability for Clyburn and Poyser to find their stroke, as it were, that's obviously becoming a bit of a mystery. John, final thoughts before we wrap this up tonight. At the end, you'll never like the way you lose, but I think you'll look at certain junctures of the game and feel like when, you know, you consider there were 13 different lead changes in this game, this certainly was a winnable game on your home floor when you're playing a team that's got two of their stars down. Is it just a matter of the fact New Mexico wanted it more?
Feels like a broken record, but, you know, disappointing loss. You're at home. New Mexico's missing two key guys, and you can't pull it out in a close game. But we've kind of talked about this before. It's almost like the same Rebel Extra the last few games, right?
That's fair.
So the only thing you could say is hopefully in their next matchup, they can actually string together 40 minutes and pull out a home game against Colorado State.
Yeah, and Colorado State comes to town. No Shea Bob.
Yeah, unfortunately.
It's a bummer. Rumor has it was going to be Shea Bob bobblehead night.
when you saw Bob
on the back of the jersey, I just like looking at that.
Oh, he had of course.
But Colorado State, what like you said, John, 7-man rotation.
Yep.
Jean Clavel, 39 minutes a game, but they get it done. They're way up. They're above 500. You know, give Gloria Stacey credit. The kid that transferred Gillen to Syracuse is lighting it up. Can you imagine if they still had him? So anyway, they come to the Thomas and Mack Saturday at 3:00. Still several home games left. The Rebels will host San Jose State a week from Saturday, and they'll host Reno on the 25th. John, final thoughts for a second time. Any other final thoughts on top of your final thoughts?
Hey, I'll tell you what, though. I think Saturday, you're at home, 7-man rotation, not a lot of depth. Hey, pack the Mac. It's a winnable game for
3:00,
right?
Folks. Be out there. All right, that's going to do it for tonight's edition of Rebel Extra. On behalf of my broadcast team, JVT John Montobel, and producer extraordinaire Bobby Machado, I'm Bernie Fratto, bidding you goodnight. Next up for the Rebel Rebels, as we just said, Saturday, a date with the Colorado State Rams, 3:00 tip at the Thomas and Mack. Hope to see you all out there. In the meantime, tonight's final score, New Mexico Lobos 80, UNLV Runner Rebels 77. Good night, folks. We thank you so much for listening, and go Rebels.